up. We've got headphones. We've got iPhones. We've got Logitech cameras. We've got a plug bug and a memo pad. And we're going to take a look at a wristwatch. It's all ahead on Before You Buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Carbonite. Automatically and continually back up your computer files to the cloud whenever your computer is connected to the internet. Only $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Before You Buy and you'll get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Before You Buy. Hello and welcome to Before You Buy. This is the show where we help you choose what to buy. We get all of our TWiT compadres all around the studio to review the latest and greatest stuff. And we've got a bunch of things to take a look at. On Before You Buy today. Let me take a look. I got a list of things. Let's start. I think we should start with some headphones. What do you say? Our John Slonina is our studio manager, our studio engineer, and he's a major audiophile. So whenever kind of high-quality headphones come in, we'd like to let John take a look. Let's get his review of the RHA SA950i headphones. John?
Hi, I'm John Slonina. I'm the lead studio engineer here at the TWiT Brick House, and I'm here today to talk about these RHA 950i compact headphones with remote. Now, I like the way these headphones look. They're kind of small and shiny. They fit over the ear, and they fit very well because they have an adjustable slider here that goes to any position you want, as opposed to most headphones that have discrete stops. They also have this detachable cord, which I'm sure could be convenient at some point, but like other compact headphones, they don't fold up, so this is about as compact as they get. Now, in terms of the sound quality, they do have very sharp highs, and the lows are very distinct, but it's kind of thin altogether. When I compare them to the headphones I normally wear, which cost, you know, 3 times as much as these, if you want better sound, if sound quality is your priority, then you're going to want to invest in better headphones. But if you're on a budget, these do sound pretty good for the price. The best part of these headphones, though, is the quality of the phone calls. They have the microphone here, and they sound really good. I've done several phone calls in noisy areas testing them, and I had people call me using these. I'm quite happy with the way the audio quality of the telephone calls sound. So here's the pros and cons. If you want headphones that are budget headphones that sound good, then I could recommend the RHA 950i headphones. They are comfortable, they fit well, and the quality of the telephone calls is pretty sharp. The cons are the audio quality for music is pretty budget priced. If you are concerned about getting the best quality for your music, you're going to have to spend some more money. The other con is that this is as small as they get, that the headphones don't fold at all, so they aren't as compact as some of the other headphones you can buy. So I'm going to give these headphones a qualified buy if you are on a budget and you're looking for a good set of headphones that has a good sounding headpiece microphone to use with your phone, then I can recommend that you buy the RHA 950i headphones. I'm John Slonina for TWiT's Before You Buy.
Thank you, John. John, we call him Jammer B because that was his name for many years in the chat room till we hired him away from the chat room. That was a tough negotiation, by the way. coming up now, we got something a little unusual. You probably noticed that the iPhone 5 has a built-in panorama feature, but what if you wanted to make a 360-degree panorama? Well, you might want to use a little doohickey like this. This is called the Go Pano, and we gave it to our editor-in-chief and hobbyist photographer, Tony Wang, for his review. Tony?
I'm Tony Wang for TWiT TV, and Before You Buy, today I'm reviewing the Go Pano for iPhone 4 and iPhone 5. So the Go Pano is a lens adapter for your iPhone that lets you take 360-degree video simultaneously, so you can scroll through the video afterwards on their website and see everything that's happening around you while you're shooting the video. And the adapter comes obviously with a case for your iPhone. Pretty decent, well-made case. You pop your phone in there, and you pop your lens on there, and you're good to go. You can download the Go Panel software from the App Store free, and you can also use their website free by uploading your videos to their website and other social networks. Pros and cons of the Go Panel. As far as I know, this is the only device in the market right now that lets you take 360-degree video using your phone. And the quality is not the greatest because the resolution is sort of reduced. Con, you always have to calibrate your camera every time you put on the attachment because it's always a little bit off when you put it on. Buy, try, or don't buy, I would definitely give this a try. The effect that you get from shooting videos with GoPanel is really cool. And you can actually scroll through the video if you upload the video to the website, which they host the videos for you for free. I'm Tony for 2L TV, and before you buy, and this is the Go Panel for the iPhone 4 and iPhone 5.
Thank you, Tony Wang. Tony is our editor-in-chief. Coming up, Chad's here. He's the old redhead himself, host of OMG Craft on our website and our twit.tv. But he also is going to have a little review for us of a new tablet. I'm very excited about that. Before we talk about that, though, let me talk a little bit about Carbonite Online Backup. I hope you have a good backup strategy. And if you don't, I want you to take a look at Carbonite Online Backup. In fact, I bet you even if you have a backup to the computer or hard drive next to the computer, Carbonite would be something you want to take a look at because not only is it automatic, so you don't have to remember it, it's continuous, and it's up to the cloud where it's off-site. So if there's a fire or flood, some big disaster, you still have a backup available to you no matter when the worst happens. Carbonite's great for individual computers, just $59 a year for everything on a computer. But they also have small business Carbonite, which is really great. One low flat rate covers all the computers, all the data. You really got to check it out. Carbonite.com, Mac or PC. Once you've got your backup in the cloud, by the way, you can use the Carbonite apps on the smartphone or the tablet, or you'll log on to your Carbonite account from any computer. There's your stuff. So it's cloud storage. Check that one off the list. You can even email apps from the app, email files from the app. So it's a great way to kind of share files with other people. Carbonite, just pretty amazing. $59 a year per computer for the home plan. Try it out. Use our offer code before you buy at Carbonite.com. You don't need a credit card. You could download that free trial for 2 weeks, usually enough to get that first backup set done. And then anytime you're online, it's doing incremental backups, always making any changes you make backed up to the cloud. Carbonite, there's all the different prices. Carbonite.com, and then use the offer code before you buy for 2 weeks free. You'll get 2 months free with purchase if you do that. Carbonite.com, use the offer code before you buy. You're watching Before You Buy, Twit's product review show. Chad is here, Chad Johnson, who is the producer of Twit and MacBreak Weekly and Twiggy. Also hosts his own show, OMG Crafted. At first I thought you had a Nexus 7 tablet there. It's a 7-inch tablet.
You would think so. So there's a few reasons that you may think that it's a Nexus 7 tablet. One, it's the 7-inch design. It looks a lot like the Nexus 7, and it's made by ASUS, the people who actually make the Nexus 7. The other reason that you may compare it to the Nexus 7 is the price. This is a low-price device coming in at $149.
Ooh, that's a lot lower than the Nexus 7.
Right, so it's around $50 less than the Nexus 7.
Boy, it sure looks like it, though, doesn't it?
It sure looks like it's less?
Like it's the Nexus 7.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I mean, it looks identical.
Right. The hardware features that make it different is the Nexus 7 does have like a nicer sort of silver bezel. And then it also sort of has a soft back. This is hard plastic, and it's dimpled. And right. So it's not nearly as nice. Just in the hand, it kind of feels like a crappy plastic. Right. Also, the glass, you can tell how smudgy it is. This is not like a Gorilla Glass replacement type of thing.
It's not what Apple calls oleophobic.
Right. So you're going to get those really smudgy fingerprints, and they're going to stay. It's also not incredibly scratch-resistant. Compared to, say, like a higher-end phone. The other thing is the screen is not an IPS panel, so you're going to get really bad viewing angles.
When you change the angle, you
just
can barely see
it.
Yeah.
Right? And this is a
What's the resolution?
This is 1024 by 600.
Oh, it's really low resolution.
Which is, yeah. And then just to compare to the Nexus 7, it was 1280 by 800.
Right.
So there it is, much less resolution. It does have a gigahertz processor, a gig of RAM, and 16 gigabytes of internal storage. A thing that this does have above the Nexus 7 is it does have a SD card slot.
Oh,
so you
good.
Could expand this up to 32 gigabytes if you were wanting. Now, as far as the operating system, this is Jelly Bean 4.1.
And a little older.
So you're going to be able to get some of the swiping things that you expect. Now, this is also pretty apparent. There is some ASUS layering on top
right.
of here. So you're going to have this sort of, like, I could turn off Wi-Fi from here.
It's so funny. People, these companies think they're improving the Google
Absolutely.
And so, experience.
Like, this is a widget. There's a lot of crapware on
yeah.
here. There's this right here. This is a tray of little things that you could overlay. So let's say I wanted a calendar as a window that I can drag around
well, that's interesting.
My screen.
Wow.
And so I could do that. Or let's say I had another app up and I really wanted
it
to
keep...
It does
windowing.
Yeah,
wow.
It does windowing. So now, and then you can even bring in... If I wanted to bring in an app that doesn't... Here, let me get rid of it. So the thing is that like the screen is only 7 inches. So if you had a 10-inch screen, I could almost expect it, but not quite. So what it does is it will take
especially
widgets.
At that resolution.
Right. Especially at that lower resolution. So it'll take widgets, and you can add widgets to that windowing. So let me go... So this is
that's
audible
a window
widget.
Right. Yeah.
And so now instead of having a widget on the main page, I could bring this widget into a browser to say, like, keep
so
listening
to
my audiobook.
All the windows are always on top.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's... right.
I guess
right.
they have to be.
That's just how they do.
Yeah.
And you can access all of those through this sort of fourth contextual window down here. There's also, originally I thought this was just where all the crapware was kept because all of...
That's what they call it, the crapware bar.
Right, right. Yeah. This is a crapware tray where you got you have your memo pads and this is a stopwatch and
this is all
a
ASUS
video
stuff.
Player, to-do yeah. list. Yeah, this is all the ASUS stuff. But there's even more. So if you go into the thing, you have... Audio Wizard, you have things like My Bitcast.
Oh, please.
Like, this isn't even a nice product. You also have things like...
Can you uninstall any of this stuff, or do you have to root it to do that?
With Jelly Bean, you can disable apps. So,
hide them.
You know, I didn't even try to hide them. So if I go...
So they're not... Erased, they're just not
right.
visible.
So let's find ASUS email. I'm never going to use ASUS email. I can disable this app and then it won't show up anymore. So you could do that. I didn't even try to because
that's an improvement.
I kind of wanted to just show it off
right.
like it is.
Right.
So there's definitely crapware. There's even things, you know. So anyway, crapware is very, very, very prevalent on this device. As far as performance, it is definitely slow. You know, just scrolling through, and it's a freaking Buddy Buzz. I don't even want Buddy Buzz on.
I put that on there, so you'd be my backy.
Oh my gosh! So as terms of performance, it's very slow. If you're doing things like downloading something in the background, or you know, having a process like a heavy, intensive process, like let's say you have Twitter and some other background reader running, it can get very chunky. Just in normal operation, it was a little bit frustrating moving from one thing to the other. You can see, like, Angry Birds is also, which is what I'm playing now, is sort of optimized for lower-end devices. They have really worked hard to make sure that it runs
plays fine. Yeah.
So it plays fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes there will be a very interesting redraw with something like this. The other thing is a big downside with apps.
You've played that game before, I think.
A few times.
Okay.
And I like to pull it up because it's visual and you can do it mindlessly while trying to ramble on and on about a review. I did have some problems with the App Store. A few apps that I expected to work just fine were not compatible with this device because it is not a sort of brand name higher
really?
End device.
I'm
right.
surprised.
So I tried some backup things that I expected to use. Plan B is what I use a lot to
mm-hmm.
find devices. This is the first time I've used a 7-inch device, and 7-inch is a
too
great
small?
Great size. No, I actually love the size.
I do too, yeah.
And I don't know why. Because I turned off Wi-Fi earlier to show that feature off. So, I wanted to install Plan B to make sure that I wouldn't lose this device and just not compatible. And right. Plan B is like a Find My iPhone, Find My right. device sort of manager.
But there are probably other programs you could use. That's
there
just
are.
The one you used to.
There are. But yeah. it was kind of a shock that right. wow, this wasn't. So, on the pros and cons. Pros. Cost. It is $150 around.
It's a great deal.
And if $50 is really something that breaks the bank, then this device may be for you. It does a lot of things that you want a tablet to do, but is $50 less. On the cons, this screen is just really low resolution, and that viewing angle is kind of atrocious. And it's something that you're going to be working with every single time that you use this device. You're always going to be looking at the screen. There's no way you can use this device, I mean, unless you're listening to an audiobook. So that's a big con in my book. Also, it's slow. It could get chunky very quickly. It could get chunky on some things that I didn't think were very CPU intensive. Also, there is a lot of crapware on this device, so expect to either need to get rid of it or just live with it on the device. And some of the features that they have added are things that I would never, ever, ever want to use. Once again, this comes in at $149 for the Asus Mimo Pad or Memo Pad. A lot of people online were calling it the Mimo Pad, so I'm assuming.
Because it's like, delight me more.
Me more.
Is their slogan, Mimo. So it's the Mimo Pad.
Mimo Pad.
Me.
Bye. Yeah. Don't you love device names?
I don't know why they do that.
It's
yeah.
just ridiculous.
No one knows how to pronounce it.
Oh, and also battery life was normal. Yeah. Battery life was
8 hours, 10 hours.
Yeah, 8 hours, 10 hours. Yeah. I mean, yeah. what I would.
What that is about as low as you can go, I would say, for
absolutely.
A tablet like that.
And I mean, if you just feel it, it feels inexpensive.
Yeah.
It's heavier than the Nexus 7.
Yeah. And for $50 more, you can get a Nexus 7.
Yes.
It almost seems like.
With no crapware. Oh, it does have, like, the Google Now has just kind of popped up for you. It does have some features like that, which are nice to come from Google. So. Buy, try, don't buy for the Asus Mimo Pad.
Very disappointing screen when I look at it.
Very disappointing
it's
screen.
It's not good.
I'm going to say...
For your dog, buy it.
Yeah.
For your small children.
This is... I'm going to keep it at a try because $50 for some people may actually be a thing that breaks the bank. And if all you're planning on doing is checking your email and browsing and checking Twitter eventually, you know, every once in a while, or let's say you don't, like... You need to check email for school, and a computer is outside of your price range, and $150 is inside your price range. This may be the device for you. If you can spend that $50 extra, don't buy this device.
Does that have a camera at all on it?
It has a 1-megapixel front-facing camera.
Sorry, it's not much better than the Nexus 7 in that case.
Right.
All right. Very good. A try. You're very generous.
It's
you know what to do.
It's only if you are in that $150 price point.
If you, really
if you can
can't.
Go above that, yeah. don't buy this device.
$50 more, it's worth it for a Nexus 7. Thank you, Chad Johnson.
Oh, thank you.
OMG Craft Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah,
you could watch live, but it's really not designed to be watched live.
No. It's a polished show that we record. It's awesome if you're there in the chat room. You get to see us and we interact with you, and it's a fun. Sort
but you're behind. It's a behind the scenes.
But yeah, it's a behind the scenes look of how we put together the show. And if you really want to experience the show how we intend it, go download and subscribe on
twitch.tv/omgcraft or on iTunes. YouTube.com/OMGCraft. Very good. Thank you, Chad.
Of course. Thank you.
We got our producer here, Shannon Morse. She actually showed me this the other day, and I thought it was very interesting. Let's get her review of the Logitech TV Cam HD. Shannon?
Hey, guys. I'm Shannon Morse, the producer of Before You Buy, and this week I have the Logitech TV Cam HD, which costs a whopping $200. Now, you may be wondering, why in the world would I want to buy a webcam for my TV? And I don't know. That's very expensive for a webcam that you just stick on your TV and almost never use. But this is made specifically for consumers who want to make video calls. I found this incredibly handy over Christmas time. I was away from my family, and I really wanted to feel like they were there in the room with me. So I plugged this in. I got this nice 720p wide angle view of myself so that my family could see me opening up presents and I could feel like they were there in the room with me. Now video, it is 720p HD. It looks great. And it also has really nice audio. whenever you cut this on, the audio sounds great for your friends as well as yourself. I can walk away from here probably, you know, a good 20 feet, and they can still hear me very well. I don't have to really raise my voice at all. So, for example, say that you're away from your room, you're doing the dishes or something in your kitchen, and you can actually hear this ring out to you whenever somebody's trying to call you, because it is connected via wireless or wired 24/7 as soon as you actually plug the thing in and get it set up. Now, speaking of setup, it's very simple. As you can see, the GUI on this thing is super easy. So if I go through here with a really nice little remote, I can click around. It just has a simple little four-way dial. I can go to settings. I can also call people, their actual phone, if I have any credits. I can call anybody in my group of friends up here, or I can call my recents. So if I call Alex right now, I can make video or audio. Maybe I don't want to be seen, so I can set it up for just a simple audio call. Hi, it's going good. How are you? Me too. What do you say? Let's go ahead and go to lunch and finish up this review. All right, thanks for calling. Bye. So let's go ahead and get into the pros and cons of this little guy. First off, the pros. HD video calling right there, widescreen on your television. It's very nice. It works great if you're far away from your family, and it worked perfectly for me over Christmas time. Second off, the sound quality. Audio sounds perfect on this little guy. Obviously, we got a little bit of echo, but that's just because we're in the same room. And third, cons. There is no three-way calling. So if you signed up and you purchased three-way calling with the new Skype, you're not going to be able to do any kind of conference calls on this. So this is not really made for enterprise. It's not really made for doing conference calls with, you know, three of your siblings all across the nation or what have you. All in all, because the price is a little bit expensive, I would say buy, but in this case, I'm going to have to say try it. It might be perfect for you, but in my case, it was just a little bit out of my price margin for a Skype video calling interface. For myself, I would probably just get an HDTV and set up a webcam, and that works almost the same way. Thank you again. I'm Shannon Morse, and this was the Logitech TV Cam HD.
Thank you, Shannon. Shannon Morse, a.k.a. Snubs, produces this show and also does a show called ThreatWire with the Hack 5 crew. You can see that on YouTube, youtube.com/techfeed every week. You know, the important thing to point out about that device, and I think Shannon mentioned, is you don't need a computer. So if you've got a TV and you want to add Skype capability for mom or dad or somebody who doesn't have a computer or an iPad or a smartphone, this might be a $200 choice, might be a sensible choice for them. It certainly did the job. Anyway, we're going to come back in just a second with a very interesting product for you world travelers. If you happen to travel the world, have an iPad and a MacBook, you're going to be very interested in the Plug Bug. But first, let's thank our friends at Stamps.com for making the show possible. Stamps, I've told you about Stamps before, you should know, is the place you go if you want to print your own postage on demand from your computer and your printer. Stamps.com is not a postage meter. You don't need one of those. They're expensive. You still end up going to the post office. With Stamps.com, you get more features than a meter at a fraction of the cost. There's no hidden fees, no long-term meter commitments. You'll save up to 80% compared to a postage meter. Plus, you don't have to go to the post office. You just have to go online with Stamps.com. You could print legitimate postage for every class of mail, media mail, parcel post, express mail, priority mail, all from your computer, your printer. You print right on the mailing label, return address, sender's address, and the postage. Even prints right on envelopes, which is great for a business that's doing mailings or billing. I just love Stamps.com. It is a great idea for anybody who does a lot of mailing. And if you're interested in trying it out, we've got a special no-risk trial for you. Visit Stamps.com. Don't take that $80 bonus value right there on the front there. Click the microphone, enter before you buy, and now you can get a $110 no risk trial offer, including $55 in free postage you can use over the life of your account. The digital scale, which I really like, it's a USB scale, plugs right into your computer. You never have to guess about how much postage you need again. The supply kit and a 4-week trial, of course, of stamps.com. So go to stamps.com. Read all about it. Find out how you can save on priority mail, express mail discounts you can't even get at the post office. How the carrier comes to you. You can even schedule free pickups. Find out how Stamps.com works. Why you don't need a postage meter. Great for any business. Stamps.com. Then when you're ready to give it a try, click that radio microphone. Use the offer code before you buy and get a $110 bonus offer. I mean, $55 of free postage. That's a pretty good deal. From Stamps.com. Thank you so much for supporting. Before you... Bye. Now, I saw the plug bug a little while ago. My friend Guy Kawasaki was talking about it on his Google Plus page. It was a way that you could charge an iPad at the same time as you're charging your MacBook. But now they've done it one better. They got the plug bug world. Jeffrey's got one. He's going to give us his review. Jeff?
Hi, my name is Jeffrey Needles. I'm an intern at Twit here for Before You Buy to review the plug bug world by 12 South. This device is an accessory for your Apple-branded chargers that converts your simple power adapter into a power adapter with an additional USB port. This is really handy if you've got an older MacBook that doesn't output a full 2.1 amps to charge an iPad, or if you want to conserve your USB ports on something like a MacBook Air, which does have limited ports. What makes this the plug bug world in comparison to the regular plug bug is the fact that the ducktail adapter here pulls out, and we've got lots of different international adapters for around the world. This is really useful because it works as an international travel adapter. Another handy part of this is that if you don't have an Apple accessory and you just want an international USB charger, is it comes with a little blank slot that slides on, and you still have your international ports, and it's just a USB charger. Finally, it's really handy that the plug bug actually fits on multiple Apple devices. So if you have, just say, an iPad and you want to have a dual port charger, you just slide them together and you have a port here and a port here, both providing a full 2.1 amps to charge your iPad. So pros for this device is definitely the price. Only $45 for an international travel adapter, which is far less than Apple's own adapter. Also, it's really light. It doesn't add a lot of bulk to your power adapter, and it's actually less bulky than carrying both power adapter and an iPad adapter, for example. Finally, the nice bright red color of the device makes it really easy to find in luggage or backpacks or any bag, really. The only con I could find is that if you want a full power adapter kit for traveling internationally, this isn't it. You still, if you want to charge a non-Apple device or something with a standard three-prong plug, you need to buy another adapter. Overall, I'd definitely give this a buy. It's really handy if you're trying to just add a USB port to your charger, or if you want to travel the world, it gives you adapters built in. This has been Jeffrey Needles for Twit and Before You Buy, and this was the Plug Bug World by 12 South.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeffrey Needles, one of our interns here. I do want to correct one thing he said. The Apple World Travel Adapter Kit, which I have used for many years, is a little less. It's $40 on the Apple Store in the U.S., but it doesn't have this additional 10-watt power adapter for your iPad, and that's a nice feature. I had the original plug bug, and one negative, it did fall apart. The glue, after a while on this red thing, fell apart, and I guess I could have re-glued it, but that was a little bit disappointing. I imagine over time pulling it apart and plugging it in and all so forth, I just worked it loose. But just a little note that that was one negative in my long-term experience with this thing. But I am going to buy the world version of this because that is really, really convenient. The plug bug, I love it, from 12 South. And if you want the international kit for $45, that's called the plug bug world. All right, I want to show you my watch. You know, about a year ago, one of the most successful, best-known Kickstarter projects of all time was the Pebble Watch. You probably saw it. They raised more than $10 million a year ago to make a USB-connected watch. Take a look at my watches. One of these watches is not like the other. They all tell the time just fine, but this one is an LCD watch face and costs $150 compared to $50 and $100 for those Timex watch pieces. Let me take the other ones off and show you what you get with a Pebble watch that you just can't get with a standard watch. And one of the reasons I think the Pebble is kind of interesting is it might be kind of an indicator of what we're going to get with an Apple iWatch. The Pebble watch pairs, and it pairs fairly simply, to an iPhone or to an Android phone. I've paired it to my HTC One phone here, and let me log into this. Let's first show you what kind of watch it is. It is this is what they call e-paper. Now, I thought when I read it that this was going to be an e-ink watch. It's not e-ink. That's the screen that they use on a Kindle, you know, with a very high contrast. There are e-ink watches, so I wasn't crazy. But this is what is called e-paper. You know what? It's an LCD. But because it's an LCD, it's programmable. We can try different watch faces, which is kind of fun. And Pebble makes different watch faces downloadable. Here's a plain text face. It says 20 after 4, 420. This has the date and time. There aren't a whole lot of these. You can download more from your smartphone onto the watch. This is the most unusual one. You can hardly read it. It is 20 past 4. One thing I didn't like about this isn't a very brightly lit screen. There is a backlight that comes on when you move it, but in most conditions, this is a pretty hard watch to read. I do like the programmability of the faces. Now, let's go into the settings. By the way, there are four different buttons on here. There's a big button on the left and three smaller buttons for navigation on the right. There's also, you'll see, a couple of pogo pins. That's for a USB adapter. In a couple of hours, you could charge this watch up, and its charge will last about a week. That's pretty good. Let's go into the settings, and you'll see how we can use this watch here. If I go down to settings and select Bluetooth, you'll see it'll say, all right, I'm ready to pair with your phone. One of the things I like about this, I've used other Bluetooth watches before. This is fantastic because it has an app for iPhone or Android that makes that pairing a lot easier. You see, it's connected. It'll give you a pairing code. Now these two devices are connected one to the other. As I said, once you've got it connected, you can control the watch a little bit. You can download other watch apps, and presumably you can update the firmware. Presumably at some point we'll also be able to add some capabilities. This little Pebble watch is, in fact, just kind of a little bit of a computer. It has an alarm. You have different watch faces. I can control the music, and I can even play a game. Here's a snake game. I'm not sure I'd really want to play that on my watch, especially since I'm not very good at it. Let's go back to the settings here. What the main reason you might want to use this watch is because once it's paired to your phone, you can get notifications when you get an email, a text message, or a phone call. And I'll show you what each will look like courtesy of the Pebble application, which gives us some sample notifications. When an email comes in on my phone, as long as it's paired to the watch and the watch is within range, my Pebble watch will show me the text of the email. Now, scrolling is a little bit tricky. I have to press the watch keys. You don't have a whole lot of room on the screen. And this isn't a touch screen. There's no way to interact with that message. You can only read it. You can't respond to it. You can't even scroll through it except by pushing these buttons back and forth. That's an email. Texts are a little bit more useful. The text will show the incoming number and the text message. That's kind of handy. It also vibrates in each case of the watch. So even if you're not looking at your watch, you'll know you got a message. You can't get multiple messages at one time, though, and that's a real negative. If you get a lot of messages, they're going to step on each other, and you'll only see the most recent one. Here's a ping. I don't know what a ping means. It's not something the phone's ever going to do to you. And finally, a phone call. When the phone rings, the watch will buzz continuously. You'll see who's calling, their phone number, and you can reject the call by pressing a button. One more feature on this watch, you can control a music player of your choice. I just got a text message from Lisa. It says, get to work. I'm working here. I'm working. You can control music. And when you set up the application on your phone, you get to choose which music player you want to control. And it has a pretty good range. These are all music players installed on my Android phone. I would guess pretty much any music player would work. You get to pause or skip to previous track or go to the next track. That's it. When Pebble announced their Kickstarter project, they talked a little bit about having some sports capability, a thing to measure mileage. You know, of course, you can use My Tracks on the phone, but then it would show it on your watch, which is kind of handy, or to show how much exercise, how many calories burned. It was not able to ship with that. So there they are, the Pebble watches. I had ordered a red, but Pebble sent me a message saying, we're having trouble making the colored watches. Would you like black? I said, yes, please. Thank you very much. See, there's the cycling app that did not come out. They say it may in time. Now, here's the bad news. $150 for your Pebble watch. It's not a bad... Oh, a golf rangefinder. Wouldn't that be nice? No, it doesn't. There's no golf rangefinder. It's a little bit thick. It's kind of an ugly watch. It certainly doesn't look like a $150 watch. The band is rubber. It's got some geek cool factor, but stylish, it's not. Pros and cons. Well, the pros are, yeah, there's a way to wear a watch that'll notify you when you get texts or emails or phone calls, and you can look at the watch and know who's calling. You can cancel the call from the watch. The cons, it's expensive, it's kind of clunky, and frankly, it's not very attractive. I can't recommend the Pebble watch at $150. It's just not a buy at this point. But it is a harbinger of things to come. I think I'm going to be very interested to see what Apple can do in this space. But for right now, there's hardly any reason to buy a Pebble watch. It's just a cool thing to know about. And if you were lucky enough to participate in the Kickstarter, a cool thing to have. Hey, that's it for Before You Buy. I hope you enjoyed our show. We want to thank all of our reviewers. Thank you for watching. You can watch any one of our reviews in its entirety. We cut them down a little bit for the show at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. If there's a product you would like us to review, I'm going to be doing the Galaxy S4 next week on the show, so don't email us. But if it's something you really want to know about, email byb@twit.tv. Shannon will take a look at all of your emails and decide what products to review next. And, of course, you can watch us do this show. We do it every Tuesday at about 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time. That's 2300 UTC on twit.tv. You can always get it after the fact. Audio and video on demand at twit.tv/BYB. That's it for me. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. And remember, you got to watch before you buy. See you later.